This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is this?
It's time for News from the Nest.
With Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
You know, we think Roger had a great year last year. He's a very good athlete. He's way mature than a typical young player. I think he proved that this year with how he played and competed week in, week out. He's definitely a factor on the left side, if need be. I think we'll try to find the best five guys we can.
Tarik DaCosta, Ravens GM at the Combine, postseason, of course, talking about Roger Rosengarten, second-round draft pick, number 62 overall out of the University of Washington. And the conversation there was based on what happens with Ronnie Stanley.
Yep.
Hey, Ronnie Stanley moves on to a more lucrative destination financially, New England, for instance. Then Roger Rosengarten could slide over and play left tackle. Before we get to all of that, let's talk about Roger Rosengarten after the Ravens drafted him in the second round and where he went from there to how he evolved as a rookie for a team that made the playoffs and won their division for the second straight.
Yeah, Roger, University of Washington, 33 and a half inch arms, 9 5/8 hand, senior. Right tackle, jersey 73, 6'5", 308, ran 4.92, which is outstanding. 1.73, 10, excellent. 30-inch vertical jump, excellent. 9'5" broad jump, excellent. 4.6 short shuttle, excellent. He was a four-star recruit from Colorado, played D-line and basketball. 28 career starts at right tackle. His strengths, size, tough, looks to finish, quick pass set, good punch, good pass set, good hand placement, gets two-arm lockout, slides feet well and pass, smart, picks up stunts and twists well, he can pull, turn, and run, and turn up, runs well, hustles downfield, he can work up to the second level, shows strength in the run game, lower body strength to stack at the point, has good upper strength and strong punch. Weakness: plays a little high. Must bend knees more in pass. Can get driven in the bull rush when too high. Short arms hurt some in pass. Will bend that weight and lose man on the outside. Gives good in pass. Average base and balance in pass pro versus Michigan. Gave him help. Not a road grader in the run game. Some problems recovering in pass. In summary, this kid's smart, tough, and has some improvement he needs with lower body strength and anchor. Not great knee bender, has good punch and good feet. Has short arms, hurt some, but he has good punch and pass. In the NFL, will need a lot of work playing lower, and he'll be in the quarterback's lap. And I think we saw all of that stuff throughout the year. Number one, we saw the athleticism. We saw the ability to pull, run, and turn up. We saw the ability to get up to the second level. We saw that, like, when I saw his body physically, wasn't ready physically, body-wise. Needs to get in a weight room. Needs to get a man body. And that's going to help him. Was a kid that improved throughout the year. Got much better. And, you know, the short arms really didn't show up to me in pass pro. I thought at the beginning of the year, he needed help. Did he get driven back some at the beginning of the year? Yep, absolutely. But he got lower. And I think he learned fundamentals, technique got better, and his pass pro, by the end of the year, he was blocking most guys by himself. So a guy that really improved, and I think a guy that's got a chance to make a really big jump if he lives in the weight room this offseason, because he is smart, he is tough, and he looks to finish at all that. But a lot of things is he can't finish against NFL guys because I don't think he's strong enough yet. So a year in the weight room, get that body, like, ripped. You know, he was 6'5", 308. Be 315 and be ripped and do a lot of leg work, a lot of squats, those types of things. So when you got to put that foot in the ground and anchor, you can. So ideally, it would be great for him, Bob, to stay at right tackle for another year to grow on that one, because that's where he's most comfortable with. Because what's the difference between right tackle and left tackle? At right tackle, you're kicking out with your right arm and right leg. Left tackle, you're kicking out with the total opposite. So there would be some learning there. But does he have the athleticism and the feet to do that? Yes. Could George Warhop get him to be that guy? Yes. But if Ronnie stays, I think George Warhop will get Roger Rodengard. Where, how nice would it be if really you don't need to have either tackle need help? I mean, that would be awesome. You don't need a chip. You get free releases by your tight ends and stuff. I think that would be excellent. But a hell of a prospect and a kid that improved a lot. And he's going to even get better if he lives in the weight room this offseason.
So we look at their first two picks in 2024, the Ravens, Nate Wiggins, Roger Rosengarten, two significant contributors for a team. They were in playoff games, and they were playing in them and being big-time factors in the quest. Didn't get to the Super Bowl, frustrating for sure, but I'd say with those two at least, and we got Isaac and Walker coming on later in the show, you like what you got there, and two guys that are going to be starters, and, you know, who knows? Maybe both upsides are a lot greater than they were as rookies.
Yeah, and Bob, I mean, because of what you just talked about, the experience that they've had, and, you know, it was good experience at the end of the year, quality experience. So the confidence that they're going to come into the offseason, to OTAs, to minicamp with, is going to be big. It's going to really be big. And both of them need to do what? Get in the weight room. And if they can get in the weight room and they're here, start of the OTAs, start of the offseason program, and lift and lift and lift, I think two outstanding starters they will be this year.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about Adiza Isaac coming up at 12:45. And if we have time, get to Tez Walker coming up at 1:15. Orioles lineup real quick, Nolan, as they take on the Twins in less than an hour. Let's see. Jackson Holliday, second base. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Colton Cowser, right field. Heston Kerstad, left field. Ramon Laureano looks like he's going to make the team. Jake Real says it because Mateo is going to miss the start of the season. Center field, Emmanuel Rivera's at third base. Kobe Mayo's at first. Dylan Carlson has options. He's your DH. Levon Soto. Rodriguez is on the hill for the Orioles. Albert Suarez, Keegan Aiken, Brian Baker, Corbin Martin. Also part of the equation, Nathan Webb, traveling from the minor league camp from Minnesota. Harrison Bader, right field. Carlos Correa is in short. Byron Buxton, center field. Ryan Jeffers, DH. Royce Lewis, third base. Ty France, first base. Christian Vasquez behind the plate. Edouard Julien is at second base. Austin Martin, what a car, left field. And Pablo Lopez. He wouldn't look bad in the Orioles rotation. Not that Minnesota's trying to trade him away by any stretch of the imagination, because the Twinkies are in a division with Kansas City, Cleveland, and Detroit. They're trying to keep up I mean, the Twins were the favorites last year. Now they're the ones on the outside looking in. Health is key for them. Correa, Buxton, especially Royce Lewis, all missed time. If they can stay healthy, watch out for Minnesota. Of course, today's game doesn't count the standings, but Twinkies could be an interesting ball club in 2025.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is over there. Terps tonight at Michigan. We'll talk about that with Walt Williams, Orioles and Twins, Fort Myers, 105. Keep you up to date on the score. Final hour of our show. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Have some NFL lunch with him. Max Crosby wants Aaron Rodgers in Vegas. Does Tom Brady want him in Vegas? I guess that would be the question. And Ronnie Stanley is the number one rated free agent in the NFL. Is that a good or bad thing for free agency here? Especially if he sticks around in Baltimore.
The bad thing, Bob, is going to be if they don't get him signed before free agency starts. If he goes and tests the water, I think he's gone.
And then Rosengarten will slide over to the left side, as we just talked about. So we got a lot to get into. Stay tuned for that. But right now, let's count that midweek money, hopefully, buy or sell.
Bob, I will say that if Ronnie does end up going elsewhere, I think everybody be playing the cuts of Eric DeCostas here. I feel real good about it.
Yeah.
You know, the Dow, now, a half hour ago, my phone was all red. Now it's all green. The Dow's up 117. The NASDAQ's up 13. And S&P's up 3. DraftKings up $1.09. Under Armour's up 2 cents.
Get started today in the NFL. Discussions about Kyle Pitts. When's that breakout season going to come? Well, that's become an annual tradition at this point. Since being taken fourth overall in 2021, just one season of 1,000 yards and 10 total touchdowns in his career. Atlanta still went ahead, picked up the fifth-year option. That was last offseason. So one more try at this before they figure out what they want to do with him long-term. Going to be a free agent next year. Outside of 2022, where he missed some time, durability hasn't really been a concern for him. Maybe they thought they were getting more out of him when they signed Kirk Cousins, but that blew up in their face. Buy or sell, Vinny, Pitts would have to set career highs across the board for Atlanta to even consider signing him long term.
I'll buy that because it's been, they're hoping. And maybe with Michael Penix, it takes off. But is he a talented guy? Absolutely. But yeah, you got to show me.
Over to the NBA, Steve Kerr never shy about speaking his mind, especially when it comes to officiating. That was the case earlier this week when he was given a technical foul after arguing with the refs over what he thought was a missed travel. The quote here from Kerr says, "They do a great job. They work their tails off and communicate well, but I see five or six travels a game that aren't called." Now, he also admits that his own team is getting away with some of these travels, but when the fans, everyone watching at home can see it, it's not a good look for the refs. Overall, he says they need a change here, quote, for the good of the game. Are you buying or selling, Bob, that the NBA will ever make it an emphasis to call travels at the rate of other fouls?
I'll soft buy it. They'll get into it for a bit, like we see in, you know, remember baseball emphasizing the balk, and everyone was calling balks, and then the Ravens Chiefs, Ronnie Stanley lining up, you know, behind the line of scrimmage 50 times in the first quarter, or first drive of that game, then it disappears. First of all, it's a rule of the game. Forget about the integrity. It's a rule. You know, two steps, that's all you get. And just do yourself a favor, everyone. There's a YouTube clip of traveling not called. It's 1,000 of them a game. And, oh, by the way, 3 seconds used to be a thing, too.
Yeah.
Which, and I know everybody shoots threes nowadays, but somebody kind of just plants themselves in the paint and watches all them bricks getting thrown all over the floor. But, yeah, it's a roll. Let's do it. Emphasize. And I like how he soft-sold him. Hey, they bust their asses, but they suck. Because there is a rule that's blatantly that we benefited from that they're not calling here or enforcing.
Back to the NFL, the Rams have committed to Matthew Stafford as their quarterback for at least the immediate future, but maybe a need for a quality backup there when you're rolling with a quarterback in his late 30s. Overall, Stafford, pretty healthy. At 2022, he missed significant time, but outside of that, pretty durable here late in his career. Jimmy G was their backup last year. Didn't really need him outside of Week 18 when they rested all their starters, but he himself has had durability concerns in his career. Sean McVay says they would love to bring him back for the backup role again. And of course, Stetson Bennett still on the roster as well. But Vinny, buy or sell, the Rams need a more stable backup option before next season begins.
I'll sell that. I mean, like you just said, Stafford played other than Week 18. So, I mean, Jimmy G, if he gets hurt, it's in the parking lot or on a practice field. So, no, I think they'll be fine with that.
Over to baseball, the quest to get Pete Rose reinstated by the league, it hasn't stopped following his passing last September. The Pete Rose family has recently met with Rob Manfred and filed another petition to have the all-time hit king welcome back and maybe even up for Hall of Fame consideration as well. As we know, Manfred, you know, is looking this over, but is it just a courtesy to the family, an actual decision on his part? You remember about 10 years ago, he rejected Pete Rose's petition for reinstatement. Oddly enough, if you remember 10 days, somewhere in there, about a week before Rose did pass, he had an interview where he said that he believes he'll only get in if he does get into the Hall of Fame after he dies. Are you buying or selling that MLB will posthumously honor Rose with reinstatement?
I'll buy it because from what I was reading, and I was reading the same story you were, Manfred lifetime ban. He's not alive anymore. So does that mean based on verbiage? I don't say it's a technicality because, you know, he's in the next dimension. Well, you know, since he's not alive, then he's not banned any longer. Now, reinstate him doesn't necessarily mean he'll get into the Hall of Fame, because the pencil pushers might still vote to keep him out because, you know, they are against steroids and all of the good stuff that goes along with it. So I'll buy that. Question is, what does that mean for Joe Jackson then?
Right.
Because now you've all of a sudden, well, Shoeless Joe, remember, his career batting average was almost 360. And he would certainly qualify for the Hall of Fame, but he, you know, the Black Sox of 1919, he was the most infamous of them. So if you reinstate or take him off the banned list, then Joe Jackson's got to be quick to follow. And Shoeless Joe died in the 50s. So he's been gone for quite some time, but I'm sure there's a family member that would be like, whoa, you guys make movies and write books about this dude. Let's give him a little love here, too.
And, you know, I mean, the media circus that would follow if he was reinstated, however long Manfred's tenure as commissioner is, doesn't matter. That would be the first bullet point on his resume, reinstated Pete Rose. That would be the thing that everyone remembers about his tenure. It's a tough call.
Yeah.
Tough.
Again, even if they reinstate him, doesn't guarantee that the baseball writers will vote him in. So he still might not get in, but he'll have a, you know, air quotes, fair chance to do so.
And our last story here in the NFL, Hassan Reddick. He's a free agent again this offseason, but his value, safe to say, it's not what it was when he was trying to force his way off the Eagles. Of course, ended up landing with the Jets and started up a contract dispute with them as well. Didn't suit up in a game until week 8 and finished the season with just one sack. So how much do you weigh that against his previous four seasons where he was outstanding, had double-digit sacks every single year, was even in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation in 2022? Buy or sell, Vinny, Reddick will still command a multi-year deal despite his rough 24.
Multi-year deal.
30 years old, by the way.
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. I think that he didn't have his legs, you know, because who knows what he did that whole offseason and whole training camp, and you go in week 8 and try to get yourself ready to play. He probably didn't even feel good the whole season. I think if a team gets him in and gets him in the off-season program, look at Van Noy, what he did. I think, the kid could probably have some success early on. I don't know that I would want to pay him a lot of money, multi-year deal, because I don't know for sure what I'm getting.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, preview Maryland and Michigan with the Wizard Walt Williams. Stay tuned for that. Get back to the Ravens draft class of 24 with their third pick last year, Adisa Isaac. Do they have a pass rusher on the roster in this young man? We can get into that and more. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, he'll have some NFL lunch with us, and we'll get into the Orioles and Twins lineup, keep you up to date on the score. And then we'll replay Kevin Willard, head coach of the Terps. He was on the show yesterday talking about not only tonight's game, but also the importance of Gary Williams to him and this Maryland program as Gary Land celebrated his 80th birthday. Let that sink in. I don't know if I got bracket brain yet, but we're starting to get close to it. For sure, because we all need a little extra cash, and maybe the Turtles could help us along the way. But here to talk about the team, Maryland legend himself, part of the Maryland Radio Network, joins us every week. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. He is the one and only Walt Williams. Wiz, what's happening?
What's happening, brother?
And a little of this, a little of that. Got to be honest with you. We've been talking a lot here last couple of weeks about Maryland, and in particular, the lack of bench scoring. What's it, three games so far, two in a row, three games in the league where they got nothing from the bench. And Walt, you know, you were never a bench rider. You were that guy. You didn't, Walt Williams didn't ride no bench, but you like to have deep teams. Michigan State throws, what, 9-10 guys that play 15 minutes and average points and help the cause. Maryland, not so much. So as we're this deep in the season, 29 games in, Walt, is this a concern, or is it like, well, this is the team, this is the hand that's been dealt, or the roster that's been built, and they're doing okay so far with this?
Well, yeah, I think that's, it's just the way the nature of the beast. That's what it turned out to be, where you have multiple guys in that starting lineup that can get it done. I mean, Michigan is very similar to that as well. You know, they have five guys in their starting lineup who average double figures. I think the difference is that with the Terps, those five guys, any one of them could get 20, even two of them could get 20 in the same game at any given time. And so you have guys that can, not only do they average double figures, they can take over games and moments. And so I think that's a real advantage when you go to the bench. You certainly want to have some scoring off the bench, but I think that when you have so many guys in that starting lineup that can give you so much on the scoring end, it doesn't put as much pressure on your bench to score.
Now, Walt, you look at Queen and Reese versus Golden and Wolf. Is that a wash, air quotes, or does one duo have an advantage over the other ahead of tonight's matchup? Because, you know, Queen's a stud, probable first-round pick. Reese scoring's been down a little bit, but Golden and Wolf in particular, they kind of bring a little more to the equation than just being tall here.
Well, yeah, those dudes, but let's talk a minute about how tall they are. Those guys, both of them are bigger than our bigs. And our bigs are not jump shooters. They have Wolf. Wolf is a 7-footer, but, I mean, he can shoot the ball. you know, as well as rebound the ball. So he has a unique skill set in where he can stretch the floor, but also he's physical enough on a defensive end to be able to control a glass. So he's going to be a real challenge. And then you say Godwin, he's their leading scorer. And, you know, he's a 7'1" guy as well. So their interior presence is going to be a problem. I think that where you can make your have your advantages is when you rebound the ball, like a guy like Derrick Queen being able to rebound the ball and push it and get the help get the team out in transition and force Michigan to find guys on that 3-point line in transition. I think that if you can do that consistently, Queen now has advantage against those big guys being able to bring the ball up the court and take advantage of them on the perimeter, beating them off the dribble. So I think that you have room for the bigs to be able to take advantage a little bit, but I think overall it'll be a wash there. Like I said, those guys are 7 foot and they bring it. So I think that the real advantage is going to be on the perimeter, what these guys can do on the perimeter in terms of in transition and breaking the defense down and creating for each other.
Now, you talk about their guards versus Maryland's guards, or, you know, Miguel's a little on the bigger side, so is Rodney Rice as well. But they turn the ball over a lot, over 14 a game for the Wolverines. Pardon me, the Ravens, Terps have been one of the better forcing turnover teams in the conference this year. So if it comes down to one or two things, what about Maryland turning the ball over their guards versus them maybe struggling to do so against Jacoby Gillespie and crew here?
Well, yeah, I just think that that's another way to get out in transition, you know, being able to get steals, because I think that's where they're going to make their hay, scoring in transition. I think when you set up in half court, those 2 7-footers can really cause problems in that paint area. And so I think transition would be the key in this game, and finishing off defensive possessions, you know, defensive rebounding and getting deflections, getting steals, and those things help you achieve that goal.
Walt Williams, the Wizard, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Terps tonight, taking on the University of Michigan. How's Maryland positioned themselves? If they win the next two, there's a chance they could finish second, Walt, in the Big Ten regular season. Then you get the double bye, et cetera. But going into March, I mean, you have some guys that haven't played in the NCAA tournament. It's been a couple of years for Julian Reese, as Maryland didn't get in last year. But how do you see them situated from an experience-wise? It's not like they play a ton of freshmen or freshmen no longer freshmen. How is it going to be once you get into March Madness moving forward? Because I've said it, and of course I'm never wrong, Wiz, Sweet 16 or bust with this team. Anything less than that's going to be uncivilized, like the old deodorant commercial said way back when.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that. I think this team is talented enough. They can have advantages in transition, setting it up in half court against teams. They can score from the perimeter or interior. So they can score many different ways. To me, it's just about what they can bring to the table consistently on the defensive end. If they can be consistent on the defensive end and keeping guys in front and finishing off defensive possessions, rebounding ball and not giving teams multiple opportunities at making shots, I think this team can go a long way. You know, so to me, the way they've been playing so far this season, or especially ending the season, yeah, I think anything short of a Sweet 16, I think it'll be a disappointment.
Hey, Walt, when you're talking about defense, talk about Julian Reese last Saturday against Penn State with 15 rebounds and 6 steals. He was all over the place.
Yeah, they were trying to get that ball inside, and he was having some good deflections, defending a three-quarter in the post area. He's been doing a good job all season of controlling that paint, whether it's rebounding the ball, blocking shots, scoring in that paint area. So he's been a general in that sense, just manning that paint area. And it's going to be a difficult task for him tonight. He's going against a guy who's bigger than him. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he uses his physicality. Juju uses his physicality to be able to take advantage. But at the very least, you have to be able to rebound that ball, limit Michigan to one possession, They're not a team that shoots the lights out from the three-point line, so they're not a team that's going to catch fire per se, but the way they make their hay, getting to the free throw line, being aggressive, driving the basketball, and rebounding. So the Terps got to make sure they just give them one possession.
He's the Wizard, Walt Williams, Maryland legend, longtime NBA star, joining us, Vinny and Henny, 105.7 The Fan. Walt, real quick. Speaking of the NBA, we were just talking about this. Steve Kerr wants more traveling called in the association. I know you never traveled because your handles were too slick to have to go to that sort of subterfuge to get advantage here. But traveling, I mean, it is a rule, right? You're supposed to kind of enforce it, I would assume. I mean, LeBron might as well just wear a hat and take a suitcase with him sometimes, much as he's running around.
Amazing to see what they let go nowadays, but you know, especially with the with Harden's step back move being such a prevalent move in the NBA now, and so it gives leeway to guys to you know, they're traveling out there on all moves. So, but at the end of the day, I think the referees take the stance of if you're not gaining an advantage from that, you know, probably not going to call it. So I think you just have to adapt to the way the referees are calling the game, just like any other era, and then try to go from there. So, but Steve Kerr definitely has a valid point. There's a lot of traveling going out there that's uncalled in today's game.
All right, Walt, you know, if Maryland wins tonight, I'm confident that they are going to get a road win. I might have a celebratory vodka cranberry as I hit the liquor store on my way home. What kind of vodka am I getting?
You want to use Clutch Vodka, man. The smoothest tasting vodka on the market. The premium vodka, affordable pricing, gluten-free, no sugar, no carbs. It's organically filtered. And we give a portion of our sales back to One Maryland Collective, the NIL program at University of Maryland. We thought it would be fantastic for the community to be involved in directly impacting the caliber of student-athlete we have at the University of Maryland. In the next, probably in a week or so, we're going to announce a campaign going on. So with Clutch Vodka. So stay tuned for it, man. We're going to have a game watch to end it all, probably a Final Four or Elite Eight game watch somewhere. So stay tuned for that info. It's coming out soon.
He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely, brother.
There he is, Walt Williams, everyone. It's Vinny and Henny, 105.7 The Fan. Comeback reset for you. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, going to have some NFL lunch with us. Give you the Orioles lineup as they're taking on the Twins. Keep you up to date on the score. Game starts at 105. And then Kevin Willard, he joined the show yesterday. Replay that for you at 1:30. Chuck Smith talking about Adisa Isaac last year, third-round draft pick by the Baltimore Ravens, 93rd overall. He came out of Happy Valley with some production. Chop Robinson was on the other side, who may not have had big sack numbers, but had a really good rookie year for the Dolphins. But Adisa Isaac coming in out of Penn State, where Adafe Owe is from, and he flashed big time last season. But Vinny, let's go back less than a year ago and talk about Isaac when he was drafted, what to expect, and what you got when it was all said and done, and what hopefully you'll get moving forward this year.
All right, Adisa Isaac, Penn State, 33-7 ace arm, 9-5 hand, redshirt senior, jersey 20, 6'4", 247, ran 4.74, a 1.64 10, which is not bad. 34.5 vertical jump, that's pretty good. 10.3 broad jump, that's not bad. 2019, 11 games as a reserve, 14 tackles, 1.5 sacks. 2020, 9 games, 13 tackles, 1.5 sacks. 2021, tore his Achilles, missed the season. 22, he started 13 games, had 28 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. And then his redshirt senior year, he started all 13 games, 37 total tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks. So the production and tackle, he had his best year, was his senior year. Now his strengths, size, effort, athletic ability, shows a burst. He can drop into coverage some. He's got a quick takeoff, good in initial punch, closes down quickly on the backside versus the run, shows ability to bend the corner, uses hands well to shed, keeps feet moving in pass. He can find the ball in a run game, good punch, lockout, and shed, strong, has some power on the bull rush, captain,
good on stunts, excellent motor, and football smarts. Weakness, little hip stiffness, needs to work on some counters, needs to get stronger and bigger in the lower body, needs a better anchor in the run game. Now, in summary, I said this kid plays with a great motor. He has some pass rush skill, and with Chuck Smith's help, he should develop some counters. He needs to get stronger in the lower, but does a decent job in the run, especially from the backside and slanting. We'll need more bulk setting the edge. He'll struggle in coverage with hip stiffs. I like him as a rusher, strong, quick hands, relentless, and productive. We didn't get a chance to see any of that, you know, with the Ravens. He was, you know, hurt. He had a hammy basically almost the whole year. Then when he came back, he didn't have his legs, and he was not good. He showed, you know, he was thinking all the time, and it showed. So it was a redshirt year, basically, in my mind. And what he needs is, needs a great offseason, needs a great weight program, and he needs a lot of work with Chuck Smith, working hands, working counters, and all those things. And what we need to see when we go out to OTAs and minicamp, we need to say, who's that? That's what we need to see. Because, I mean, when you looked at him, and you, when you looked at Ajabo this season, watching them play, it's like, eh, come on, get off a block. You know, make somebody do something with the pass rush. And they didn't. So his hands got to get quicker. And I just think confidence, strength, and being healthy, having his legs, I think that's going to help him a lot. Because I would say this, Bob, you kind of got to show something Adisa does this year. Show something that why you're a third round pick and what you can be. You know, can you be, could you replace like a Malik Harrison and be a better pass rusher than Malik and also be able to be that run guy? And if he can do that, then you don't need Malik Harrison.
These Isaac, 4 games, 4 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. So, lost season.
No doubt.
To your point, because never really got his sea legs under him in 2024.
No, we never saw what you saw at Penn State. And it's not because of injury. Like with Ajabo, never saw what we saw at Michigan, and that was because of injury. And with Adisa Isaac, never saw what we saw at Penn State because he was always recovering from a hammy. And then when he'd get back, he'd tweak it again. So he was never the guy that we're hoping for.
You mentioned David Ajabo. He's heading into, what, his 4th season now?
He's heading into a make-or-break-it training camp is what, you know, I mean, he's fighting to make the roster is what he's trying. He's trying to fight, make that 53.
Yeah, so if he's healthy, no excuses for him.
None. And even if you're hurt, yeah, there's no excuses because you can't be hurt for 4 straight years.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. Orioles taking on the Twins at 105 Fort Myers. Here's the Orioles lineup. Just tuning into the show. Jackson Holliday, second base. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Colton Kowser, right field. Heston Kerstead, left field. Ramon Laureano, center field. Emmanuel Rivera is at third. Kobe Mayo at first. Dylan Carlson, DH. Levon Soto, shortstop. Grayson Rodriguez starts for the Orioles. Albert Suarez, Keegan Aiken, Brian Baker, Corbin Martin, and Nathan Webb are all there going to throw the baseball as the Orioles get back at it. Jordan Westberg's had a soft mattress from an Airbnb, led to the back spasms, but he's feeling better. Kittredge still dealing with inflammation in his left knee. He's been limited to 1 appearance so far. He's expected to be a key contributor to the bullpen, and no update on Gunnar Henderson other than moving along nicely, no setback. So I guess that's a good thing to talk about. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, have some NFL lunch with him. And Kyle Hamilton was on the Green Light podcast with Chris Long. And we'll hear what he had to say coming up at 1:15. And Kevin Willer, Maryland head basketball coach, 1:30. Had him on yesterday, talked about some cool stuff, including tonight's game against Michigan.